soon present a pontoon boat driven by my buddy.
Ooh, sorry that was so loud.
We're fishing out on the basin for alligator walleye pike.
Oh boy. Yeah. Barb, she thinks I'm crazy there. I don't know what the heck to say. Oh, you're not on. There you are.
There we are.
Okay. Yeah. Don't you know, hey, we're going to have a good time here. Yeah, 20 hoopers and a pontoon boat. Yeah, you got a fishing drink here? Yeah, I'm sitting in the Uper chair today. We got Captain Kale. He's over there across the chair across from me.
Don't you know?
Whoa! Talk about loud. Okay, now try that again.
There we go.
Okay, Pooch. You're done. All right. Shh, quiet. Okay, we're radio fishing here. And that was Die Upers. Click the link on the page and go to the Die Upers site. Very cool people. World's largest outhouse display right on US 41 in Michigan. True. Exact same road we're on. It's just a couple thousand miles away, but it is the exact same road.
With an outhouse display.
Yeah, the world's largest outhouse display.
Second largest.
Well,
first one on 41 St. Pete.
Yeah, I forgot. But anyway, if you go outside of Fish and Frank's, you make a left and just drive for a very long time. It'll take you right there. Let's go. So what's up, Captain Kale?
Oh, fresh off the water.
Well, I don't know about fresh. I'm sitting relatively close to you. We'll give you off the water.
Yeah, definitely off the water. Well, we had a good day out there today. It was almost 100 fish day.
Well, that's always great.
And none of them were catfish, which is pretty darn good.
Almost 100 fish and
not a single cat.
We didn't do so well. I went out with Terry yesterday. I caught a nice mangrove snapper. She caught a catfish and I caught a stingray. And it was we were out. Yeah, I was playing with the bus, making sure the bus was, we just got it, another motor put on after the other one was broke in half. Literally, folks, broke the motor in half. No, I've never seen anything like it. But we were playing with the bus and had a great time out there. Beautiful day to be out. I mean,
yeah, and today was even better. That wind laid down about 11 and the whole harbor was like glass.
Yeah, but you were in a little tiny creek, so you were, like, sheltered. It could have been blowing 50. You wouldn't have known it.
Wouldn't have known it, no.
Yeah, you were in a little tiny creek. And
it's the only bad thing about fishing up in there is when you pull out, you really don't know what you're coming into.
So, anyway, give us an insight as to what you've been running pretty much every day for the last few days.
Yeah. Almost the last week, and I've got every day but one booked for the rest of the month, so staying busy.
Busy little beaver you be.
Yep.
So, anyway, what goes on right now on a charter? The charter doesn't actually start when you pick up the people. It's a couple hours before that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to get the boat ready, fuel it up, bait it up, and not white bait. I'm talking shrimp. You know, it doesn't matter how good the white bait is out there. I'm still taking shrimp with me just in case.
Right.
I may not even use them. I think I threw one shrimp today out of the four dozen I took. But the day that I don't take shrimp will be the one day that I throw the cast net and it turns to dust. I can't find bait. Chum doesn't work. You know, it's you got to have that backup plan.
So, anyway, so what happened with plan A? You went down toward, where'd you go find bait today?
I went down to Pirate Harbor.
And you throwing powder chum?
Yeah, just throwing a normal powdered chum, which I forgot again today. It's the most important thing next to fuel. You'd think I'd remember. And that's two trips in a row now that I've left the shop without a bag of chum with me. So Carl had to come down and bring me a couple of bags of chum today.
So anyway, you get down. What do you look for to go find bait? What's the...
Normally what you're going to look for is signs of the bait. And that might be the little sign that says bait here.
Bait here?
Yeah.
Yes.
you're looking for the ripples on the water.
So basically, you get an area where there's likely to be bait, and then slow way down.
Yeah. And look for it flashing on the grass as you drift through.
So you're really trying to look into the water to see it, a little flash of the side of the bait fish.
Right. Believe it or not, I do a lot of listening for bait. Sit out there, tell everybody to be quiet, turn all the pumps and motors off, and just listen. And you're listening for the Yeah, because you're listening for that little tick out there on the water. Tick, 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 tick. And that's their tails smacking the surface or them eating at the surface. And a lot of times you'll find the bait just by that, like doing that.
Okay. You could. I'm ever since I got back from the oil spill, I'm half deaf. So I couldn't. I mean, unless he came up and was beating on the water with a 12-pound mallet, I'm not going to hear it. You know. But
we've been going to the south side of Pirate Harbor and looking for the bait, and it was really sketchy in there Saturday, and I got absolutely nothing on my first couple throws of chum, and it was either, okay, let's try the other side, or we run a devilfish, one or the other. Went over to the other side, got about, I'd say, 50 yards off the bar.
Outside or inside?
Inside.
Okay.
And I threw one handful of chum, and it was like a school of piranha coming from the bar. Nowhere near where I threw the chum. I don't know if they heard it or what, but they come off, up off of that grass, just right on the surface, beeline to the front of my boat. Weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I've sat there and watched them sit 2 feet out of cast net range.
Oh, yeah, that happens
an hour.
So much.
Or an hour and a half. And 2 feet farther than I know I can throw.
Yep. Yep.
And eventually you just get tired of it. And one day I was on the front, and I'm now it's getting late. My customers are waiting, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I literally jumped off the front of the boat throwing the cast net to get that extra 3 feet.
I'm not that dedicated. I'm not jumping in that water.
I got to tell you, that was a day I'll never forget. I haven't done it before since. I felt very lucky. I didn't break my legs because you're only in 18 inches, 2 feet of water.
Yeah.
And threw the net while jumping, landed in the water, landed upright, neat, little
over my luck,
water,
I'd get wrapped up in the net and drown.
That's what I thought. That's why I said I'd never do it again. I did it once, and that was enough.
What I'll do when that happens, I'll either put the trolling motor down and stretch out the sticket pole.
Yeah.
Or I'll pull up the sticket pole and drift into them. But 9 times out of 10, I'll just start chumming off the back of the boat instead of the front.
Yeah, that really helps.
And that'll bring them in closer. The other problem I had Saturday was they were too close to the boat.
I don't have that problem. I can lay it out with my foot.
So. And that's the thing. I can't. You know, I've kind of got to throw it and not let go of it with that left hand.
Right.
And kind of drop it underneath the boat.
Oh, yeah. One of the things that I practiced, and I went out and just practiced throwing straight ahead left, and right next to the boat and far away from the boat, and until I could do it.
Far away is great.
Far away is easy. My problem
was, 20, 25 feet away from the boat, I'll get them.
Yeah.
If they're sitting right off the bow, forget it. That's the safest place they can be.
No, I had that same thing happen, and I just went out one day, and I did nothing but try and lay that net right next to my toes. And it's a great thing to practice, because everybody is worried about throwing distance. How far can I throw the net?
Yeah.
And sometimes, if you can't throw it next to your foot, you know, and I was the same way, you know, and it's just something I think everybody's got to go through until one day you go, okay, that's
and
it.
That I'm usually just going to sit happens, there and throw. That usually happens when your tide and wind are doing two different things.
Yeah.
Because you're chumming way out. The wind is keeping you pointed into the tide, and it's just bringing all that chum right back to the boat.
Yeah,
and when that happens, I'll just start throwing that stuff as far as I possibly can. I'll load it in the bait bat and throw it.
So it drifts back
to get it to that much farther out.
Anyway, so after you collect the bait, you went and got your customers, did all that stuff.
We sat right there where we caught bait.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Bye.
Bye.
You know, girls are all leaving. The office is closing.
I laugh that these guys, they load up their live well and leave. Why do you leave fish to find fish? If all that bait fish is there, there's going to be something there to eat it.
Yeah.
And we sat on the flats. We caught a couple snook. We caught a couple trout. Guy brought a fly rod with him, managed to get a couple on fly. And then we picked up and headed up to my secret hole.
Uh-oh. The secret hole that's just north of the island that isn't there anymore, but south of the Gentleman's Club Point, but
right
west of the No. Yeah, it's close. Anyway, close. Up in that spot, and it's. I'm usually against secret spots, except for the fact that a spot gets good, and you only got about 2 weeks to enjoy it.
Right. In a spot
lucky,
like that,
you get 2 weeks.
A spot like that, and it's poacher's cut. I have no problem saying what it is because there's going to be 17 boats that go by you anyways in
right.
there.
But you really get a very limited time out of any place that you fish, you know.
Yeah.
And if you go and you fish that spot, and usually, now I'm not sure how you do it, but when I was doing charters, I would pick a random spot. I would try and pick a pretty decent spot for first thing, and then pick a random spot, and then go to my power, power spot. And the problem was my power spot always had to change because,
right.
you know, all of a sudden you show up there one day expecting to catch your 40, 50 fish and they're moved.
It's swing and a miss.
That's why I always choose a random spot every day when I was, I'd put a half hour, 40 minutes into a spot that hadn't been to in a long time, never been to.
Yeah.
Just to give me that next power spot.
And I like poacher's cut. I prefer it on an incoming tide. It's a great place to fish either tide.
Yeah.
It's just easier to fish on an incoming tide. It's easier to position the boat where you need to be.
You know, that's the one thing, because I haven't been doing a lot. I haven't done any charters in the last few years since the oil spill. And positioning the boat is tough. And it's a lot harder. It was an art form that I used to have. Basically, didn't even think about it. I would just pull in, be exactly where I needed to be, and everything worked. And now, when I go to fish,
You had to do it without power poles, without stick-it poles.
I had two mushroom
anchors. You had to do it with two anchors.
I did it with two mushroom anchors.
That's how I grew up, and that's a pain in the butt.
But it was so easy for me. I just did it all the time, and I could be coming in there on a heavy drift or whatever, and just boom, 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 and I was done, and everything was good. And now I find myself, knowing the spot is 3/4 of it. Knowing where to anchor is the other 25% of it.
Yep. It sure is.
Because if you park on top of the fish, you're screwed. If you're too far away, you can't get to the fish.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be that Goldilocks zone.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And knowing where somebody fishes is one thing, but understanding where the boat is and why it's there is a huge thing.
And your next biggest thing is going to be current.
Incoming tide one spot, outgoing tide another spot.
Right.
So, anyway, but you've been slamming the fish. You had near 100 fish today.
What kind of fish were you catching?
Good.
Trout, snook, snapper is what we caught today. Saturday's trip. We got some trout, some redfish, and some snook. Larry lost probably 15.
I saw pictures from Saturday. That was a nice trip.
Larry lost 15 to 20 pound snook.
Wow.
And these are a school of big snook that stay in the same area that me and Carl have been watching for the past 2 years and just can't get them to eat. We've tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. And it actually ate a shrimp. How many 15, 20 pound snook do you see eat a shrimp?
Oh, that's all we used to use.
And I think it wasn't trying, because he was throwing over there and a snapper were biting at it. And I was telling him, let the snapper eat it. Quit jerking it away from him. Let him eat it. He's going to put chum. He's going to put scent in the air, in the water. And a lot of times those big redfish will come and take it right from the snapper.
Oh, the snook, the redfish, though, usually they'll take the snapper and the bait.
Well, that's what I think the snook was doing. He was eating the snapper that was eating the shrimp.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember those days. Pulled up in a spot one day and had a guy, and, he wanted to catch all these big fish, and it was just a lousy, lousy day. It was a great day to go fishing, but a lousy day for catching. And I was telling him about all the big fish over there, and he's looking at me, and we fished over an hour and never got a bump, never got anything. So I told him, I said, stand in front of the boat. I put him right in the nose of my boat, standing there, and I had him fold his arms up, and I said, stay real nice and small, just crouch a little bit, got him in position, went back, got the push pole, started shoving him up to the spot. And I said, when I tell you to, and I showed him how to do it, just open your arms real wide, like you're going hooray or surprise or something. And I got him up there, and he opened his arms up, which spooked all those fish.
Yeah.
And I thought he was going to fall off the boat. He was jumping and yelling, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." You know, because, I mean, there was, they just wouldn't bite.
Right.
There was all these huge fish there. And he got to see them all spook out of the area because we, they weren't biting. So we went, I said, "Well, I got another spot. Maybe those fish will eat." And we went over and we were fishing there literally about 45 minutes. And he couldn't take anymore. He said, "I want to do it again. I want to do it again." You know?
He just the heck had never. Poles. He's just having fun spooking fish.
He had just never seen anything like that. When you got 15, 20, 30 pound plus snook, all just, they're leaving right now.
Yeah.
And it looks like torpedoes being shot everywhere. Yeah, he was, he, you know, I got tipped really well that day.
For spooking fish. For scaring fish.
Yeah, we never actually caught a fish. But he says he'd never seen anything like that before. So, anyway, a lot of fun you can have while you're out on charters. Let's see. Now, whitebait's obviously the king right now. Shrimp's doing okay. I would say it's probably 5-1 on whitebait right now versus shrimp.
I think it depends on where you're gonna go. If you're going to go beat up the mangroves for redfish, they're still wanting shrimp.
Yeah.
The snook are eating the whitebait.
Yeah. And this is going to hold true. If the weather stays the way it is, everything's going to stay the way it is.
Yeah.
If we get a cold spell, you better have shrimp on that boat.
Absolutely, because we may lose all that bait.
Well, it's not even that. They're not going to eat it anyway.
Yeah.
You're going to catch 5 fish on shrimp for every one you'll catch on whitebait. Right. And people get in a habit, the reason I'm bringing in is they think this is the best bait there is. And for that day, that hour, that minute, yes, it is. But in 2 days, it can be completely different. It can be completely different in 10 minutes. I've watched it change when a cloud goes over and rains on me for 30 seconds.
Yep.
And you got to refigure everything. You go from freeline and whitebait to shrimp under popping corks to get fish to eat. Or freeline and a shrimp or a sinker or a pinfish. You know, you once they quit biting, you got to figure out what happened.
Yeah. The biggest problem I'm seeing out there with the whitebait is they'll eat the chummers. They won't touch anything with a hook in it.
Well, the one thing most of the guys, and I hear this more and more and more, is nobody's chumming.
Right.
If you're putting bait out, they better have a hook and a leash on them.
Yep.
You know, you've got to be able, don't give them the freebies, or they'll sit there and suck on freebies.
Yeah, they will. And I usually don't chum until my clients have thrown out there. I don't have to throw out there to search for fish. When I go someplace, I know there's fish there. I don't need to search for them. You know, I'll wait till my clients get thrown out there, and if nothing happens, then we'll throw, you know, a small handful of chummers out there and see what happens.
Yeah, a few freebies if you're not getting hit is a good thing, but always start out with, you know,
big fish
with a leash on it, because in today's world, I've seen you throw out, you know, a bunch of chum, and then that's it. That's all they eat, and they're done.
They're done.
You know, I'd rather have those on the line. I want a leash on them. I want to be able to bring them in and look at them.
The only place that doesn't seem to apply is inside there in Poacher's Cut.
Yeah,
I wish I'd have had 5 more live wells full of bait, because you throw out a bat full of chummers and you're going to catch 5 or 6 fish, and then it goes quiet.
Then you got to do it again.
Then you got to do it again. And you get them all riled up and you catch 5 or 6 more fish, and then it gets quiet.
Yeah, there's always those.
Which the only reason I think it's like that in there is because the current's so heavy, it flushes those chummers through so quick.
Yeah.
You know, they're in the next zip code by the time those fish get settled down.
Yeah,
whereas if you're on the flats, they're going to stay in that vicinity.
Right, they're just going to mill around. So anyway, so what else has been going on out there? I'm hearing some cobia out by the reefs.
Yeah, I've been hearing the same thing. I haven't really gone out there to give it a shot. I was debating to do it Saturday, but we just never had the time to get out there.
So anyway, other than that, this is a nice time of year for you because it's reasonably cool. The weather's almost perfect. You do have a T-top, though, so people can get out of the sun.
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, that's one thing I did enjoy yesterday with the bus with the Dumble Biminis on it. I kicked back in the chair up underneath the Biminis and, you know.
Everything shady.
Yeah, nice and shady. Then walk out front, stand in the sun for a while, fish, and then, yeah, okay, I'll just go hang out under the Bimini for a while. But it was cold running. It was chilly in the morning.
It's been chilly in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Today wasn't too bad.
Advertising segment.
Yeah.
Great time for Fish and Frank's hoodie.
But Friday and Saturday, it was kind of chilly out there. And I guess it's supposed to dip back down again from what Barb was saying.
This next cold spell is brought to you by the brand new Fish and Frank's hoodies, available in pullover or zip up.
Come
red,
get
black, and gray. Yes. Go to fishingfranks.com. Click the buttons on fishingfranks.com, and you can buy them right online.
So, and they are the nice, soft, snuggly hoodies.
Yeah,
and
I know. We're supposed to be big, tough guys and not talk about that.
They're not the normal sweatshirt material. It's kind of got almost that fleece feeling to it.
Yeah, I really like it. I've got mine, and that's my coffee. That's what I go out in the morning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't want to get all dressy. I don't want to, but I sit on the back porch and have a smoke and a coffee. And so, yeah, that's been my buddy the last few mornings. I used to have, you know, a big robe I used to wear out there. But, yeah, the hoodie's great. So, anyway, enough BS about that. The, see, I'm begging for money. I'm starving. Feed me. anyway.
Throw you some Chummers.
Throw me some Chummers. Freebies. Anyway, we got more stuff going up at Fish and Frank's store, too. Kale's going to be working with me on getting... We got a bunch of new keychains. We got pendants, or as people call them, charms, but it's pendant around your neck. I guess you could put it on your wrist, but a pretty good-sized fish to be on your wrist, you know. Anyway, let's see. The fishing in the flats, pretty good. Out by the sandbars has been actually pretty darn good, and it could be just because there's a lot of bait out there attracting a lot of different types of fish.
There's the last couple of days from Ponce Park all the way down to Mangrove Point has been solid white birds.
Yeah.
I actually pulled in there Sunday or Saturday to see what was going on, because it was like 3 days in a row that whole stretch had every white leash turn in the zip code there. And it's grass shrimp everywhere.
Just solid shrimp.
Solid grass shrimp. And they were doing the same thing down in front of the skating rink.
They're not grass shrimp. They're actually regular brown shrimp. Yeah, they're regular eating shrimp. They're just small ones.
But same thing in front of the skating rink today. Just every white bird in the county there.
Wow. Well, it's good. It keeps them away from the boats for a while. Gives you a break.
Yeah, and go fish it. You know, go get yourself some shrimp and a popping cork. Those trout are going to be thick in there going after those things.
Yeah, you're going to have some awful fat, gorged fish.
Yeah, trout, snapper.
So, anyway, well, that's pretty cool. So go out, and if nothing else, swing around there. Now, you're talking right about when you come around from Ponce de Leon Park heading towards Alligator Creek, before you get to Alligator Creek, on your left-hand side where that shoreline kind of runs almost east and west there, because you're coming from Ponce,
right,
figuring that is north and south, let's say, and then you make that left curve coming down, go about halfway down and hit the boat, stop the boat, and just look, because if you've never seen the water full of shrimp, and I mean, it's really something cool to see. So stop and go look, even if you're, you know, fish it for a few minutes, or just stop and look at it. I mean, you...
Be careful. It's shallow in there.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to... That's what I said. Stop the boat when you're in 4 feet of water. Yep. Idle in. And just take a look. And just to be able to see it is really cool. It's one of those things that you need an... It's impossible to imagine. You've got to see it.
Yeah. It was...
And it's really cool.
Something that I've never seen. I've never seen them grouped up like that and all in one area real heavy like that. You'll see one here, too, there. I mean, there were just hundreds of them everywhere you looked.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
Once
you saw one and realized what you were looking at, then they were everywhere.
Yeah, it's kind of like you got to learn to read another language.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know what, you see the letters and the words, but when you read it in German, the letters don't correspond to English words.
Right.
And it's the same thing as looking at that. You have to look at it, and all of a sudden, you'll figure out
there,
what this one is and what that one is.
You're in there looking for pinfish or whitebait. Or shrimp or Spanish mackerel and ladyfish in there, stirring everything up for the birds. The last thing you expect is to see little shrimp in there.
Yeah, and you've got to literally give your brain time to... Believe it or not, we don't actually see what we think we see. We only see what our brain tells us we see. And it's like if you look at a word
thing... That's why
thing,
my kids can never find anything.
You know... And the whole thing about it is you've got to sit there until all of a sudden you recognize, hey, look at the shrimp. And once you, like you say, once you've seen one, you'll see everything. But it's the same thing as looking for fish in the flats, because you're looking for the image of that fish like you would see on a picture or something else. You're not looking for the way it looks in the water.
Right.
And once you see it, your brain will remember that, and you will be able to see it after
that. The same thing we went through looking for the fossilized shark teeth with Robert. As soon as you find your first one, now you start seeing them everywhere.
But your brain actually bypasses that because it's not recognizing it.
Right. It's nothing that you've ever looked at before in your life. It's nothing you've ever needed or required before in your life.
And so until you give your brain a chance to see the shrimp and to go, okay, this is what I'm actually looking for,
right,
you're not going to see it. You're going to go there and say, oh, there's nothing here. These guys are crazy. Give your brain a chance to catch up to your eyeballs.
Yep.
They don't work at the same time. So anyway, what else can we talk about?
Good question.
Well, I'm actually going to be heading off to play guitar here in a few minutes. So,
oh, there you go.
I got the guys coming over tonight. We have our jam session. No, it's tonight, Monday night, but I don't think we're going to be able to get together Wednesday, so we're doing Monday night.
Gotcha.
My meaningless hobby of, you know, self entertainment, back playing guitar again. So anyway, it's been a lot of fun. No, it's actually,
everybody's got to have the release.
Yeah. So I've been having a good time with that. But anyway, we're going to be back. What day is today? Monday.
Okay.
Tomorrow, Robert and I got a show we're going to do. And so hopefully you're going to get a few extra radio fishings this week. And thank you guys so much for listening. Fish and Frank here in the chair. And Captain Kale in the chair across from me. And you can reach Captain Kale at, your phone number is
941-916-4538.
Or simply click his picture and it'll take you all to whatever, everything you want to know about Captain Kale and stuff you didn't. And we're not going to talk over this. We're going to let you listen to this.
In a pontoon boat, driven by my buddy Mike. We're fishing out on the basin for alligator walleye pike. Emo brought his TV and Routy's Beagle Fred. He's too old to drive a rabbit, so he comes fishing with us instead. We got lawn chairs, a poker table, an ice cold keg of beer. We're loaded down with so much stuff, Mike can hardly steer.
Hey, watch out for the stuff!
When he oopers in a pontoon boat, fishing for Moby Dick. The wife, she thinks I'm working, and the boss, he thinks I'm sick. It's a perfect day for fishing, drinking beer, and telling lies. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys.
Just a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys. Thanks for listening to Radio Fishing. Fishing Frank saying, well, I hope to be talking to you tomorrow. If not, we'll see you in the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.